Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the power of it. We want to thank you for the encouragement of it and for the ability of the Holy Spirit to open its truths to us. And Lord, we want to commit ourselves into your hands today. Lord, cover us, we pray. Let your anointing be upon the preaching and the teaching and the hearing of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is in her palaces, he is known as her refuge. For behold, the kings assembled, they passed by together, they saw it, and so they marvelled. They were troubled, they hastened away, fear took hold of them there, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God, for ever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death. And then one verse from Psalm 50, two psalms further on. Psalm 50 and verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. This morning we are going to begin a series of sermons, of teaching on the subject which I've called the beauty of Zion. The beauty of Zion, taken from Psalm 50 and verse 2. To me, this is the most remarkable statement on both levels. The first level being of Zion, the literal, physical, natural city of Jerusalem. God sees her as this perfection of beauty. I don't know why. Fran can probably tell me. Anne can probably tell me. It's the most wonderful place to be. I don't live there, so I don't know all its nooks and crannies and all its beauty of it. But the psalm that we read, which we may consider a little bit later on, the psalmist says, go round about her, consider the walls, consider the bulwarks, consider the palaces. Everything about her, God says, is perfection of beauty. The first level. But the marvellous thing is, of course, the second level is that for the rest of us, well, all of us, if by faith we have come to know the Lord and our names are written in Zion, that by faith we've become children of Abraham by faith. Therefore, we have become citizens of Zion, and the Lord looks at his spiritual people. And he looks at one day that new Jerusalem, which is going to come down from heaven as a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, this is the perfection of beauty. What a statement. This is God's verdict. This is how he sees it. Now, this hasn't always been, in reality, how it has been. So, for example, in the book of Lamentations, chapter 2. And I'm sorry, I meant to keep the screen up so that we could just look at a few verses. And I forgot to arrange that. So I'm sorry, you'll have to go with me. I'll try not to jump around over much. But if you'd like to come with me to Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 15. After the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of the Jewish people, Jeremiah, pouring his heart out to the Lord, says, "All that pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, 'Is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth?'" And so at this particular time in Israel's history, when Jerusalem was ransacked, and Jeremiah says, how come that people are looking at this ruin now? That people used to say of Jerusalem that this was the city of the joy of the whole earth, the perfection of beauty. And maybe, friends, for some, looking at the church and the state of God's people spiritually, they look at us and they say, can this really be the perfection of beauty? The joy of the whole earth? To me, it's remarkable, actually, that it's possible for others to recognize this. This is not just God's verdict. This is what people can see in us as God's people. And if you've only got to look at something of church history to see that where there's been a genuine move of God, where there's been a building up of the people of God, it has spilled out to the communities round about. I mean, think alone of the Reformation and the impact that it had on the nation, and on the nation, not just this nation, but the nations of Europe that were affected by it. And the blessing that came in health, in music, in art, and in all sorts of ways. The joy of the whole earth. Well, my friends, why are we doing this series? It's because I believe that the Lord is wanting to build up Zion. There's a psalm, Psalm 102, that talks about when the Lord builds up Zion, he shall appear in glory. Thank God for to any extent that he is shining forth from us as his people here at Bethel Christian Assembly. And I suppose I'm really thinking of us here at Bethel. That's my consideration. But on the other hand, it has wider application, of course, as you, I'm sure, will understand. The Lord is wanting to shine forth from his people. He wants to appear to us, to be revealed through us, in us, more and more. And whilst all these things have got, that we're going to consider, have got personal application, it's the corporate that I really want us to consider over these next few weeks. It'll probably take us till Christmas. Let's just think about it a little bit more. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. When we think of the word beauty, you know, you could think of all sorts of things. You could think of a view, perhaps, or something in the natural world, something in creation. Or perhaps you could think of a piece of music or a piece of art or a piece of literature, and you could say it's beautiful. You could say it's even perfect. There's nothing more to be said. There's nothing more to add to it. It's just there. Complete. We talk about the human body, male or female, as beautiful. We talk about character as beautiful. We talk about a building as beautiful. We can even talk about an army as something, and the way that people move together as beautiful. Well, all these things come in the scriptures, actually, regarding the people of God. So, just by way of an introduction, let's consider the beauty of the bride of the Lord Jesus. In Ezekiel chapter 16, there's a marvelous description of this love of the God of Israel for his people. Of course, when it comes to the New Testament, it's talking about a bride as well. But in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 14, there is a phrase there that the Lord says, you were, let me read it. Having in the previous verses said what a terrible state the people were in, and how the God of Israel looked on his people and took her from the gutter, or words to that effect, and made her something, and clothed her, and washed her, and made her beautiful. And then it says in verse 14, your renown went forth among the heathen because of your beauty, the joy of the whole earth. My friend, I don't know how you consider yourself. You know, as far as the Lord is concerned, he sees the potential in every one of you. Maybe you, some of you younger ones, you know, there are aspects of your life, there are aspects of your character, maybe an aspect of your physical makeup, your body that you think, I don't like, I wish I was something else. Well, the Lord is able to make you beautiful. I can think of one person who, because of the state that she got herself in, and she self-harmed for years, and then the Lord met with her and she came right through. And what a lovely woman she is. And there's something even beautiful about those scars. I can't explain it to you, but there is. And you know, the Lord has this wonderful way of taking what is ever ugly in our lives. When we allow him to deal with us, he can then make it even something beautiful. At least, he removes the stain, of course. He cleanses. He makes us beautiful. But don't be worried about the scars. And your renown went forth among the heathen for your beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put on you, says the Lord. The marvellous thing about the Lord is that the Bible says he clothes us. He puts on us his beauty. Now, of course, the Lord isn't interested in outward beauty so much. I mean, the book of Proverbs talks about beauty being vain, and we mustn't be deceived about it. Of course, we live in society where it's all about how we appear to other people, don't we? Well, the Lord is more concerned about the inward. That's not to say that he's unconcerned about the outward. He wants us to, you know, look after ourselves. But the Lord is able to make you a beautiful person. The Lord is able to give you a beauty in your character. And there is a beauty in our relationships one with another and in the way that we are as a group of people together. But it comes from him. And this is the most tremendous thing, that the Lord can take a person like, I won't give a name. Put your own name there. With all your quirks, with all your oddities, and you know inside worse than that. And the Lord can actually deal with you and make you beautiful. Isn't it incredible? Wonderful. The beauty of Zion. But then, of course, the tragedy is verse 15. It says, but you did trust in your own beauty. And that, I feel anyway, is at least in part exactly what has happened to the church in this country over centuries. We've played the harlot and so on, and so the beauty becomes trashed. How tragic. Now, here's an interesting thing, I think. In Ezekiel, do you know there's somebody who's also called perfect in beauty? I'll tell you who it is. Well, he's called the King of Tyre, but it's actually a prophecy about Satan himself. And if you look at chapter 28, I mean, don't read it in detail now. I'm not going to look at it. But let me tell you, when God created Satan, he created him perfect in beauty. And chapter 28 and verse 7, verse 12. Let's read verse 7 as well. Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon you, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw your swords against the beauty of your wisdom. Just notice that phrase. We'll come back to it a little bit later on, I think. And they shall defile your brightness. And then verse 12. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, that was verse 11, verse 12 now. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And here is why I say it's Satan. Because it's you have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, and there's a list of precious stones, etc. You were the, verse 14, the anointed cherub that covers. My friends, when it comes to the New Jerusalem, every kind of precious stone is going to be there, either on the walls or on the foundation, if I remember. And I just wonder, I only say it like this as a suggestion, that part of the reason that Satan absolutely vehemently hates the Church of God is because he knows that this perfection of beauty is actually what the Lord is wanting to do in us as his people. And one day it will happen. It will be seen. Psalm 45 and verse 11 says, "So shall the king greatly desire your beauty. Because he is your Lord, worship him." Friends, did you know that the Lord desires you? No man wants to marry an infant. He wants to marry somebody who's mature and of full age and fully formed and developed. When we come to that place of maturity, God desires us. And so part of the beauty of Zion that the Lord wants to see in us, the perfection of beauty, we may call it like this, is the maturity of beauty. God wants us to mature. Individually, of course, but corporately, to come to that place where he longs for us, where he desires us. And for that to happen, the previous verse says, so shall the king desire your beauty. And for that to happen, it says, "Listen, O daughter." And for this word, it applies to both ladies and gentlemen. "Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear." Oh, my friends, the Lord wants your ear. He wants us to pay attention to what he's saying to us. He wants us to come into this perfection of beauty. "Forget your own people and your father's house." What bridegroom, on the morning of the first day of the honeymoon, wants a bride who's going to get her mobile phone out and say, "Excuse me, I'm just going to ring up mummy and daddy"? Forget your people. When a husband and wife come together in marriage, they become one flesh. And the Lord says, Genesis initially, and then the Lord Jesus picks it up, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife." And the same principle applies to the woman as well. Forget your own people. My friend, what do you have to forget? You know, if the Lord is going to desire you, if you're going to come to perfection of beauty, if we as a church are, there are going to be things which we're going to need to forget. Forget your own people also, and your father's house. What is the father's house? Read Ezekiel chapter 16 and you'll find out. So will the king desire your beauty. Well, that's one aspect of beauty that we're going to be thinking about. Psalm 48 is another picture of the beauty of Zion, which we read. And verse 2 says that this Mount Zion is beautiful in elevation, or beautiful in situation. My friends, we have been elevated. We have been lifted up as God's people out of the gutter, and we've been made to be seated with him in those heavenly places. That is the position that you are in as a believer in the Lord Jesus. Well, if that doesn't make you jump for joy, I don't know what else will. That is why you're beautiful, because he has exalted you to be seated with him in those heavenly places. The joy of the whole earth. And then, as we've mentioned, a little bit later on, the Lord says in verse 12, "Walk about Zion and go round about her." And these various things that the Lord tells us to consider or to record. He says, consider the towers, the vantage point. The towers represent a place of prayer. A tower in the scripture, in the Old Testament, is always to do with the place of watching and the place of prayer. The Lord is our strong tower. We can enter him and be set on high, Proverbs says. And it's through him that we can gain a perspective. The bulwarks, literally the entrenchments. It's translated as an army, quite literally parapets. So this is where there's something here, you know, there's something majestic, there's something beautiful about Zion, because it's a place, represents a place of warfare. It's a place where, yes, Zion is protected, but it's a place where there's going to be victory. Literally, one day, Joel tells us, and Romans 11 says to us as well, that out of Zion will go forth a deliverer. And when the Lord Jesus returns to earth to reign, it will be to the city of Jerusalem. And out from Jerusalem will go deliverance and salvation to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So these bulwarks are to do with, it's a military term really. So my friends, let's draw from God's resources. Let's consider her bulwarks, and we will, as we consider the beauty of Zion spiritually, we will consider bulwarks, we will consider palaces. And why will we do this? It's because it says in verse 3, God is in her palaces. He is known as a refuge. He is known as her refuge. The thing is that God is looking for a dwelling place. God is looking for a place where he can presence himself, where he can find rest, if you like, more and more. He says in Psalm 132, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. Naturally, of Jerusalem, that is absolutely true. But it's also true spiritually as well. The Lord is great in Zion. He wants that greatness to shine forth from us. He wants to find that place of rest among us. He wants us, think as Lance Lambert used to say, he wants to feel at home here. And when in the church, the letter to the church to Laodicea in the book of Revelation, the Lord says, I'm knocking at the church, at the door of the church. It's because he's saying, I'm outside the church. I want to come in. Why do I want to come in? Because I want to have fellowship with you. I want to sit and have a meal with you. And sitting and having a meal is a description of, it's an example of having fellowship. It's enjoying people's company. What kind of a meal would you enjoy if you came round to our house, if yours truly was jumping up all over the place and not sitting down and relaxing? I mean, of course, it's ridiculous. We want to sit. And the Lord says, I want to sit and have fellowship, sup with you and you with me. The Lord is looking for that kind of dwelling place. Let me read to you what one Bible dictionary has translated this word beauty as, like this. It says it means to be fair, to be beautiful, to be comely in person, by nature or art, beautiful in action, beautiful in wisdom. Notice that little phrase, beauty in wisdom, in Ezekiel that we read. Beauty in season and in suitableness. It implies beauty internal as well as external. Well, my friends, in Psalm 50, it doesn't only talk about the beauty of Zion. It says the perfection of beauty. None of us, I think, would claim here at Bethel anyway that we are perfect in beauty together as God's people. But God wants to perfect in us, to complete in us, some of the things that I've just read in that definition. So he wants to perfect our character. He wants to teach us how to approach him, how to relate to him. I mean, think again of an Old Testament picture or illustration of this, of Esther and how she approached the king, and she knew exactly how to do it. And what a beautiful person she was. And of course, she was made beautiful because there was somebody there who knew exactly what the king liked. And so he, this person, made her beautiful. And when she said, I think I'll go into the king's presence with Chanel, or whatever it would have been, I don't know, off the top of my head, actually, this person would say, actually, the king doesn't like Chanel very much. The king would prefer, give me another name, please.
Old Spice.
Old Spice. Yeah, she might have preferred that, I don't know, but anyway. Well, whatever it is, it shows her how little I know about these things. Anyway, but she was told how to approach the king. And friends, the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to mature us, how to prepare us, so that we know how to approach our king. He can make us beautiful. We are to be beautiful in action. Somebody was quoting the Song of Songs, I think. How does the bridegroom see his bride? How beautiful you are, my love. As Terza, I think there's a name there from memory. And then he says, you are as terrible as an army with banners, or as awesome as an army with banners. Now, I don't know if I said, or if somebody said to my wife, you look as terrible as an army with banners, I'm not sure that she would be flattered. Not sure that any woman. Why is it in the Song of Songs? Because it's there to instruct us, actually, that God's people are not only meant to be beautiful in character, but we have a function to fulfill. And we are to move together as an army. Friends, there's a desperate need for us to learn to do that. And some of these things we will cover over the months ahead. We are to be perfect in the sense of we are to be suitable. When Adam looked at Eve, he said, you are my helpmeet. You are helpmeet. You are suitable for me. You complement me. We are to be fitted for the Lord. We are to be adjusted. So we are to be perfect in the sense of fitted for the task. The Lord Jesus, it is prophesied of him, spoken of him in the letter to the Hebrews, speaking from Psalm 40. A body you have prepared for me, or you have perfected for me. And the Lord looks at us as his body and he says, you are to be the body. Perfect, through whom I can work. Now, my friends, this is what the Lord is looking for. This is the goal. Our praise is to be perfected. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. The Lord is wanting to perfect our praise. The Lord is wanting to perfect our outreach, our evangelism, just as those nets were adjusted and repaired in order to be let down. To catch the whole lot of fish. It's the same word. The Lord wants to perfect the nets, to perfect our ability to be able to reach out to others who don't know the Lord. We are to be perfect in our relationships one with another. We're to be joined together. There's a beauty in all of these things whenever they happen under the Lord and in the Lord. And we are to be perfected unto every good work. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. My friends, the Lord, it's in him that we find our completion and our perfection. We are complete in him. In him, there's nothing more to be said and there's nothing more to be added, of course. So out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, the Lord will shine forth. This is what the Lord is looking for. So we're going to ask questions over the next, we're going to consider the following matters. The beauty of Zion, the beauty of the bride, the beauty of the body, the beauty of the branches, the beauty of the building. All these images, descriptions are of the people of God corporately. And the beauty of the army, or if you want another word beginning with B, tribe battalion. The best I can do. How complete are we? Are you willing to be made complete? I trust that we are, friends, so that the Lord can can not only dwell among us more, but also that there will be a shining forth, an appearing in glory. And from us, therefore, the Lord may be able to extend something of his salvation, his deliverance. I mean, just look at the phrase. If you want some homework to do over the next week, look at the phrase, particularly in the Old Testament, wherever it says out of Zion. Let me give you an example. Psalm 110, verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. When there is a perfection of beauty, the Lord is able to send that rod of his strength. He's able to exercise his rule through us. Praise the Lord. Or Psalm 20 and verse 2. The Lord send you help from the sanctuary. And this is not just a prayer, this is a statement, this is a declaration. The Lord send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. And the Lord, for that to happen, of course, the Lord wants to strengthen each one of us, strengthen us as an assembly, and give us all the help that we need. Thank God it is all there in Christ. Well, a brief introduction. May the Lord be pleased to find a group, an assembly of his people here at Bethel, out of whom he can shine forth like that. And may God be pleased in his mercy to so look at the ruin that there is in so many quarters of the church, certainly in this country, and begin to build again those walls. And may God be pleased to have mercy on Jerusalem itself, save his people there, and shine forth from Jerusalem, literally. Let's pray together, please.